Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donnie, and Chase on this rainy day here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day, even though it's pretty crappy outside. It's going to be crappy outside for probably the next 3 days. Lots of rain here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland, that's me, Chase McCabe.
Hello.
That's him. Billy D is in cold Winnipeg. Very, very cold.
Doing Winnipeg. Some curling.
I haven't looked, but I'm sure it's cold.
Yeah. I saw
I'm assuming.
I saw he went curling last night, though.
Well, we know there's a lot of things to do in Winnipeg, so that's just one of many options in Winnipeg.
Yeah, but it looked like they had fun. It was the broadcast crew.
Oh, I believe in considering the options in all seriousness. Yeah. I'm sure that is fun.
And you've seen me try to curl. It's a sight. You've seen me try to do a lot of things.
I'm sure the broadcast team did a lot better.
They did, but that's okay.
Yeah. Is that something that's going to be aired tonight?
I don't know. Probably. I mean, I would have to guess. It looked like everybody was choked up. Everybody was there. Saw Hal and Chris and Bob Cole and Lindsey Rowley. So they had the whole broadcast team doing it. But looked like a good time there in the Peg.
Yeah. And tonight it's the Jets and the Preds. We told you about the Dustin Byfuglien story yesterday. And we'll go up there at 1 o'clock today and find out a little bit more about, I guess, what looks like a divorce is imminent.
Yeah, we'll talk to Kevin O, who hosts a daily show and does pre and post like you do for Winnipeg for their radio. So we'll chat with him from TSN 1290. And, you know, you and I have both been on that station quite a bit, and he's been on with us and since this little rivalry developed a few years ago. But it is interesting because now, you know, you look at it as I said yesterday, it's a good thing because at least for now, Dustin Byfuglien's not in the division, even though he hadn't played all year. But it also clears up cap space for the Jets so they can make moves at the deadline if they want to. They're kind of in the same position as the Predators right now that they're trying to figure out, are they going to be buyers or sellers? What exactly are they going to do? And I think tonight's game is very, very important for both teams because they can the Preds could leapfrog Winnipeg with a win. And so it's a big one. It's a Central Division matchup, but now you're just fighting for your playoff lives. And, you know, we'll talk to David Poile at 11:15, but he's also in that stretch of trying to figure out exactly what he's going to do with this team moving forward as the trade deadline is about 3 weeks away.
This road trip, which Rocco Grimaldi told Hal and I in Jack Daniel's Barrel House, or me, Hal and me, that this is yet again another season-defining road trip. Remember they did that. They said that in December when they went to New York to play the Rangers and the Islanders and Ottawa and Boston in that four-game road trip, and they came away with 7 points.
Yeah.
If that indeed is the case, Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver. By the way, you want to know where all those teams are in the standings?
Well, Vancouver.
All three are playoff teams.
Vancouver leads the
except
Pacific.
Except for Winnipeg, who we just talked about.
Edmonton is second. Winnipeg, they are 1 point ahead of the Predators. Right. By the way, team that we haven't mentioned, how about Chicago? Didn't we all write Chicago off earlier in the year? And now here they are.
Yep. Well, they hovered around all last year, too.
Yeah, they did.
They're doing exactly what they did last year.
You got Arizona that's kind of fallen back a little bit. But they're still
but not really. I mean, the five teams in the Pacific are like all they're all the same. Like they could literally change every week. Like 1 to 5 can change.
And Calgary, I'm like, yeah, I don't believe in Calgary. And here they are, hovering around.
Yeah.
So
I mean, do you believe right now Vancouver's leading the division? You're ready to lock it in.
No,
they're going to be the division winner. Edmonton's right behind them. You're going to lock them in as the
not
division winner. I mean, you know, Vegas, Calgary, Arizona. Any of those five can win it.
I still have a sneaking suspicion that Vegas ends up winning that division.
They could. I mean, they have the talent. We know that.
Yeah. And they, you know, they made the change from Gerard Gallant, which I still was very surprised by that. But it's worked to this point. And so they
and he is not the new Devils coach.
No. No, he is not. So they sit third right now. But, you know, it goes back to the conversation we had about the Predators yesterday when Adam was in here. You know, David Poile made the one major change in season that he could. That was the one card you could really play. You fire the coach. Vegas did the same thing. In Vegas, you've seen start to move up the standings, and the Predators keep having the two steps forward, one step back kind of deal. And so they're just kind of hovering around that fourth or fifth spot as they're trying to get back into the wild card race. So it's worked a little better for Vegas. And look, that's what happens sometimes. I mean, you make the coaching change and it sparks something with the players. And with the Predators, it's just they have other issues that they're trying to work through. So, but like I said, tonight, big game. You have a chance to – you could leap – does Chicago play tonight too? Are they in?
Because
with a Preds win and a Chicago and Winnipeg loss, obviously, I mean, they could leapfrog them. So this is a big –
Vancouver's in Boston. That's interesting. Avalanche are in Buffalo. Golden Knights are in Tampa. Those are interesting. Stars at the Islanders.
This is a big game.
Hurricanes in St. Louis against the Blues. Blackhawks in Minnesota to take on the Wild.
Well, this is a big, big night then, because if Chicago loses and the Preds win, then the Preds are all of a sudden sitting with 57 points in their third in the wild card standings. So, and that would put them 2 points back of Arizona, and I think you said Arizona plays.
Arizona is home against Edmonton.
Against Edmonton. So it's a big night. It's a big night in the NHL. And the only thing the Predators control is their game. So you got to go into Winnipeg and you got to take care of business. You know, the thing about this being a season-defining road trip is when they left for this road trip, I'm kind of like, okay, well, you know, they're going to make this interesting because they played well on the road. For whatever reason, it's been at home that they have had major struggles. Now, last week, they got two big wins on the road. They weren't pretty wins by any means. They tried to give away the Washington game, but they got it done. You know, New Jersey, I think, was a lot closer than maybe it should have been, because I don't think New Jersey is a very good team at all. But wins are wins. 2 points, 2 points. So they got those. Can they do it on this huge Western Conference swing that they're going to be on the road? I mean, look, if they do, that could change the whole way of thinking, but then they got to back it up at home. And that's a major concern for me right now, is just how they have played at Bridgestone Arena. Because I can't explain it. Can't explain it at all.
Well, let me know if you've talked to somebody who can explain it.
Yeah, I will.
I'd like to talk to them too.
Learn a little bit
more about it.
Right. Because when you think if, you know, because we've heard Roman Josi say it, that, you know, we got stuff going on in the room that we're trying to work through. Okay. That happens. So doesn't that stuff, aren't you worried about that more on the road? I don't know. I mean, it just seems it doesn't make any sense to me at all with things going on right now.
Yep. We will, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the program. Like I said, we'll go to Winnipeg at 1 o'clock. It is the off season, at least for football.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is in high gear. It is interesting. You look around, like, what do you do now? You know, like, so what's your...
You watch the XFL.
On Monday night, you're watching, you know, probably a lot of you are watching Monday Night Football. Now, that's been gone for a month.
Yeah.
So what are you watching? Like last night, what are you watching? What are you paying attention to?
Some people watch The Bachelor. I don't.
No, that's a no.
That's a no. I didn't really watch wrestling last night either. I watched a little bit. I kind of dabbled, but I ended up watching CBS All Access and catching up on the new Picard series, because I'm into that. So that's what I did. But I know, you know, the Tuesday tonight, the TNT's revamping their NBA package. I don't really know what they're doing differently, but they made a big deal out of it. So
When's the Vic, Michael Vick 30 for 30 come out?
I think it's already come out.
Is it already out?
Mm-hmm.
It's long.
Yeah, part one's already out. I think part two is this Thursday.
Oh.
And how long was part one? 2 hours?
I haven't gotten to see it.
Is it like
I've
2 hours?
It's about
two hours. Like
2 hours of commercials.
Hours,
yeah.
Of Michael Vick?
A ton of Michael Vick.
I mean, I watch his entire career and I get it.
Yeah, but think about everything.
4 hours of Michael Vick?
It makes sense. There's a lot to go through.
Is there enough interest for 4 hours? You have enough interest for four hours?
I'll watch it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'll watch it in pieces. I'm probably not going to watch it, you know, 4 straight hours, but I did that with OJ.
Yeah.
And the Jordan one that's coming out, they're doing one on Jordan that's like super long.
That's a 10-parter.
Yeah, 10-part
Jordan,
series.
Jordan, the Bulls, their last ride. 10 parts.
Yeah, I'll watch that. So, it just depends on who it is.
There's a story that a lot of you were made aware of over the weekend, and we barely touched on it yesterday. Want to touch on it a little bit more on what's going on with the Nashville SC as they move into their MLS season. They start at the end of this month. Yeah, they start their season at the end of the month over at Nissan Stadium. And remember, there's supposed to be this new stadium at the fairgrounds? Well, we're going to talk to Drake Hills, who is a Nashville SC beat writer, and he's going to help us understand what the hell is going on with the new mayor, John Cooper, and the stadium.
Yeah.
This deal and John Ingram and the folks with Nashville SC. Where is this going? And is this story ever going to end? How many times have we thought it was over?
Right. Well, because it's been delayed. Like, it was originally, they said it was going to be a slight delay, and now it's, I mean, we're months into a delay, and they were going to play the first season at Nissan Stadium, and then it became, well, they got to play 2 seasons at Nissan Stadium. Well, now it's getting to the point where if they don't break ground soon, they could be going into a third. So they got to figure this out, and Drake Hills will be able to shed a little more light on it. So that'll be good.
We'll talk to Drake on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. A lot of you have been seeing this story because it's been out there. It's been public. A lot of times things are going on behind the scenes. Not in this case. A lot of things very, very public, which means usually it's very, very sideways. And to help us with all that is Drake Hills, who is a Nashville SC beat writer for the Tennessean. He has been following this closely. Drake, how you doing?
Oh, I'm pretty nervous. How are you guys doing?
Well, that's not a good start to this interview, so you're very nervous. So let's get everybody caught up to speed on where exactly this story is. Get, you know, kind of take us through the layers. I swear, this is a story we've been talking about for years, and all the different layers that it took to get to this point, and we thought we were through all this stuff, and that was in the rearview mirror, and here we go again.
Absolutely. And let me clarify, you know, I'm not nervous about this interview per se. I'm worried about what's going on this week. Obviously, we've had discussions and we've seen what's going on between Mayor John Cooper, Nashville SC majority owner John Ingram, as well as Major League Soccer Commissioner Don Garber have all been in talks. They've sat in a room in New York City during the league offices last week and could not come to an agreement as to what's going on with the Nashville Fairgrounds, the targeted site for Nashville SC Stadium. So at the point in time, what was reported last week is that not only was demolition refused to be signed on by Mayor John Cooper, but also he said that infrastructure costs for the stadium itself, which was allotted for $25 million, is now, quote-unquote, doubled or somewhere around there. So that means about an additional $25 million, totaling to $50 million now. On top of that, he has refused to allow demolition to begin, which puts the club really in a bind. Because what was originally said was that it would take about 25 months to construct this stadium. So as of this fall, obviously it was extended the contract between Nashville SC and Nissan Stadium, which is where Nashville SC would be playing its home games for 2020 and 2021. Now we're not sure because my sources are telling you that although it is 25 months in perfect conditions, there could be a possibility where Nashville SC could construct its stadium is somewhere around 18 months. But, you know, time is ticking. That means around August of this year, there would need to be not only demolition, but there would need to be a construction beginning on the Nashville Fairgrounds. So it's in a big doubt. Obviously, the commissioner as well as Nashville SC has given Mayor Cooper and everyone involved until February 6th to come up with an update, some sort of addition or solution to this problem. But like I said to begin this, I'm quite nervous to see what's going to happen with Major League Soccer in Nashville.
John Cooper, pre-mayor, was against this whole project from the get-go. Is that true? I don't know him. We've yet to meet him. So was he against this?
He did have criticism. But the thing that not only the media but also everyone who was paying attention was that he was quoted saying that this situation was finished business. So there was going to be a solution put in place shortly thereafter that would allow Nashville SC to begin its plans for the Nashville Fairgrounds and building its stadium, that demolition would soon begin because that was supposed to be in October of 2019. It is now February 2020, and there is yet to be a crane to knock down anything, not to mention that the current expo is not in use. It's ready for demolition. The entire site has been ready for demolition. And so it's quite puzzling for everybody who wants to see the stadium on the Nashville Fairgrounds.
If everything has been voted and pushed through, that's not our level of expertise. We're on here talking sports. We're not into politics and how all this works. How are we at this point if everything has been agreed upon and we were supposed to be moving forward on this fairgrounds project? How has it just come to an absolute stall? I mean, how do you hit a wall when everything we thought was signed, sealed, and delivered for the most part?
So Mayor Cooper is quite concerned with the additional costs, which in his eyes are unforeseen at the moment, additional infrastructure costs, as well as all what's going on in that 10-acre space.
Hell, has he ever built anything? I mean, what building project ever comes in on time or on budget? I mean,
I'm no architecture expert. I have I do not know his perspective, if he sees something that we do not see financially speaking. But there has been an agreement. That's what it all comes down to,
yeah.
Right? Mayor Cooper, pre-mayor, was of course, like as you said, was against it. But he did say that the agreement was in place, so to speak, by his word. And so what he is saying now is that whether it be the additional infrastructure costs, but any additional expenses pertaining to the 10 acres on that land is of a quite concern. I would encourage you on Tennessean.com to read about the Parcel 8C situation, because that could give a lot more of a perspective as to what exactly is going on with that 10 acres. But going back financially, the team has already offered an additional $54 million in response to that. So that was something that came out over the weekend. $19 million of that $54 million would be set for stadium infrastructure costs that are now essentially unforeseen, but it's in preparation just in case. And the remaining $35 million would be to pay basically upfront if tax revenues from sales tax and the latter would be under par, would not reach the level in which Nashville SC would be expected to pay if it fell under their certain amount of tax revenue that it was responsible for each year. Now, that $35 million is essentially taking the city off the hook, because the city was originally on the hook for that $35 million each year if the tax revenues were not at that certain level. So Ingram and the ownership groups have already added an additional $54 million per year in addition to the $13 million per year that it already agreed upon. And so now we're looking at a total for this entire stadium of $335 million.
Okay, which doesn't seem crazy in today's standards. Drake Hill's on the line with us, Nashville SC beat writer for the Tennessean. So how serious is this moving forward? Because it's no secret that MLS came here, one, because they loved the market and they envisioned everything that they've seen here. They love Nashville, and they want their league to be a part of what we have going on here. I get that. But the other part is, you know, if you look around the league, they all have their own little soccer stadiums, their own stadiums, and that's a big part of it, other than Atlanta, who's playing in the football. So they're not all playing in the football stadiums. They have their own soccer-only stadium. That was a big part of it. So whenever you see ownership and people going public and the league going public, you know it's serious. So, Drake, how serious is it if they can't figure this out?
It's as serious as it can get if the commissioner, Don Garber, has publicly said that if he had known about this stadium situation. It was written in the original statement that the league had went and teamed up with Nashville SC to put out early last week, and he said, you know, if he had known about this stadium situation, he wouldn't have awarded Nashville an MLS franchise. Now, if that's not as big of a statement, then I don't know what is, because that is the commissioner, the head honcho of the league, saying that he was in favor of the Nashville Fairgrounds being the soccer-specific stadium that Nashville SC would soon have. It's as serious as it can get, in my opinion. I think from my perspective, you know, we're all quite concerned on what the update will be. However, the team, Nashville SC, has been more than accommodating in making sure that Nashville Fairgrounds will be the site of their stadium in 2022. And there's still time, but it's a crevice.
Drake, how much do you believe that the, because I've seen this in the letters that John Ingram has put out and Nashville SC has put out, how much is the racetrack at the fairgrounds holding this up? Because I know that NASCAR is very interested in coming back here, but and the city seems to be interested in doing things and bringing it back here. How much is that holding things up?
Well, specifically, there is a bit of a space issue, right? Speedway Motorsports has put in a $60 million pitch for renovation of that racetrack. Now, the problem is the close proximity to where the stadium facilities will be and the racetrack itself. Now, it will be a problem because of the flow in and out from the track, which makes it what sources have told the Tennessean is, quote unquote, nearly impossible, and will cause some sort of a public hazard. And Mayor Cooper has not said anything publicly about whether he supports this or not. However, John Ingram, the majority owner of Nashville SC, has said that, you know, he's not going to back down from the developments around the stadium, which would put one or the other in jeopardy because of an agreement, which is called a community benefits agreement with Stand Up Nashville, the group that is also linked with Nashville SC, just because there is 100 feet between each, which creates concern. But John Ingram has not backed down at all. So that is the biggest concern, which is the proximity relative to each other.
So in your opinion, do you think this is going to be a one or the other situation? Either, you know, they'll keep the racetrack and the stadium could fall through, or they'll build the stadium and they'll have to do away with the racetrack?
I think it's easier to say that just because, you know, one in advance talks more than the other. Obviously, we're a signature away from us seeing Nashville SC beginning their plans for a soccer-specific stadium. Now, there have been bids, as I said, with the racetrack, but I want to be sure that, you know, everyone is not trying to put them against each other. I don't think that
– Right.
I don't think that they're – I will say this. There's a possibility, but I will not create an absolute as to say that if Nashville SC has their stadium, there will not be – a renovated racetrack for whether it be Cup Series or a lower level racing. I don't think that. I don't think that at all, but I do think that there is a possibility.
In your research and talking to people, and I know you haven't been here very long in covering the team, and now you're having to cover a political situation, what have you been able to gather from the standpoint of what John Cooper's commitment to sports in this city is? Because I don't really have a good grasp on it right now. This doesn't make me feel that good about it, but I'm curious of what you think.
Yeah, it's given me a little bit of unrest, right? I mean, I think obviously we know what went down with some things that were not sports related in terms of folks, bigger companies coming to Nashville. But we're going to, as you said, we're going to stick to sports here. We're talking on a sports radio show. So we're going to talk about Nashville SC and its support. And I just don't think that, you know, there has been a direct connection. I don't think that the relationship is completely healthy. But it's not much to do with, right? I mean, like I said, this is a signature away. It's been funded. The expo is not in use. It's ready to be renovated. There are things already in place that should just see this stadium get ready, right? I mean, the right. demolition should start. I think construction should start. There isn't – the roadblock is simply the cost, the unforeseen cost, so to speak. And the relationship between Mayor Cooper and this sports world in Nashville and Middle Tennessee is – it's not getting better day by day. As long as this stadium and this debacle continues, I think not just for folks here on the ground, but if you take a look at the national perspective and how, you know, sports fans across the country see this market, it's dwindling.
So you've brought up money seems to be the real sticking point. Imagine that. But you've also yes. brought up the location. And there's no doubt that the previous mayor, she wanted this badly. I mean, she wanted this to be, you know, part of what was attached to her as the mayor of Nashville. She desperately wanted to bring soccer here. So how much is location? Is this the right location? How much has that become a sticking point of people now taking a step back and going, wait a minute, can we really do all this in this area? Does this make sense? And can that area hold? Does it have the infrastructure to actually house, you know, that much activity? Is that playing into the? How much is that playing into this, or is it?
Oh, location is everything. Why? Because there has been support on multiple fronts. As I said, the commissioner of the league has been very public about this location, the reason why he and the league were a big fan of Nashville and having MLS in Nashville is because of their plans with the stadium. The club being a fan of this ground is obvious as well. But the fans have also been a big fan of this. I mean, I've gotten multiple Twitter mentions, build the stadium, build the stadium, build the stadium, all about the fairgrounds. So there has been, from every angle, other than those, I think it's becoming a slight space in between those who are in favor of the racetrack and in favor of the stadium. Now, that is another conversation in of itself, because I think that those who may oppose the Nashville Soccer Stadium may be in favor of the racetrack. However, like I said, there have been multiple angles in which the stadium is, and the location of the stadium has been at the forefront of the reasons why Nashville SC could work in Nashville.
Let's end on this note, Drake. Where is this? What's the resolution? How is this thing going to end? Because obviously something's got to be done here really quick. So where's this going next?
Well, there's got to be an agreement on additional costs. That's what it comes down to. I think when you take a look at the money that's been put up by Nashville SC, but also what's been agreed upon in terms of the additional costs from the city and the tax revenue, things that they are already on the hook for, someone's got to give. Someone's got to give.
Hmm. Well, we know where we're rooting, and I know we know where you're rooting as well. So we'll see how this plays out. Thanks for your time, and I'm sure it won't be the last time we talk to you.
Oh, hopefully not.
All right, Drake, thanks, you.
Drake.
You guys take care.
That is Drake Hills, and he covers Nashville SC on the Tennessean.
We got big breaking
yeah,
news.
Is this the Vandy stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, I saw Adam Sparks put out Malcolm Turner stuff is churning quite a bit. Stay tuned. We'll tell you what in the world is happening over on West End. On the other side, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Well, we had a really good conversation with Drake Hills, and we were prepared to talk about it the rest of this hour because a lot of you want to talk about it. And
however,
at the end of that interview, I mean, I saw a couple of tweets from people who cover Vanderbilt Athletics, and it was very cryptic. And I'm like, what in the world are they talking about? And right as we ended up that conversation, we have got breaking news. So with that being said, Elijah, go on and let's hit it, man.
I think this is the first time we've hit Elijah with the breaking news sounder.
Yeah, hold on 1 second.
Yeah, it's okay.
All right.
Let's just get it.
Wow. Let's just go on and say
there
this.
It is.
Malcolm Turner out resigns as Vanderbilt athletics director.
Yeah, that's... I saw that as we were wrapping up the interview, and I had to stop myself because I almost said, holy moly. But it wasn't holy moly. And then all the tweets started coming through, and they've already... Vanderbilt's already released a statement naming Candace Story Lee, who went to Vanderbilt, was an athlete there. She is the interim athletic director, the first female athletic director, and so she will take over effective immediately. But Malcolm Turner issued his resignation today, and it was accepted. So very out of the blue for this move. But
he started on, I believe, the reason I remember this is because it's an easy day for me. Wasn't his first day February 1st?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, he's been on the job for
a year.
The
reason I know that, that's...
It's your birthday.
Yeah. I think he started on February 1st, so he lasted a year and...
3 days.
3 days.
It was Super Bowl Sunday of last year.
Yeah.
February 1st, he lasted a year. Let me tell you, this is just... We're obviously all consuming this together at the same time. But I've been thinking about this and talking about a lot of this stuff more off the air than on the air. To me, Chase, this is simply put, Malcolm Turner thought he was going to get here and change the whole mindset of Vanderbilt University and Vanderbilt Athletics, and he mm-hmm. was going to come in here and just change the culture and do all these wonderful things, and probably didn't take him long at all before he realized, you know what, that's not going to happen. Vanderbilt's kind of set in their ways, and they don't really operate like that, and so that sounds great. It looked good on paper. I get it. Nashville, SEC, that's all very, very attractive. Those are all check marks. And he's thinking, SEC, big budget. We just saw them dole out, what, $650 million
yeah.
to the schools last week. What did everybody get? $45 million?
Right.
Here you go. Here's $45 million to start off your year, 2020. That's all attractive. That's all good. But Malcolm Turner probably realized pretty quickly, all these things I want to do, because we know that there's a football stadium issue. There's a huge football stadium issue.
There are a ton of issues.
We know there's a Memorial Gym issue, you know, mm-hmm. like maybe it could use air conditioning, like a real sound system, upgrades, you know, renovation, stuff like that. There's a lot of things they need to do on the campus of Vanderbilt. And he probably realized that he wasn't getting anywhere with that. And look, just me personally, we had one interaction with him. And if you listen to this show, I really didn't glow about him. I didn't have too many nice things to say because I thought he operated like Oz behind mm-hmm. a curtain. And he would send out a press release and really wasn't visible at all. At all. Like, we asked for him many times to come on the show. Now, is that the reason that I make a judgment on somebody? No.
No, and we have a very good relationship with Vanderbilt Athletics.
No question.
And everybody in this town should know that.
David Williams used to come on anytime we asked.
James Franklin used to call in, just randomly call in.
Well, we have the coaches on all the time. Yeah. We do a weekly. We've done a weekly with Derek Mason for 6 years.
Right.
Bryce Drew used to come on mm-hmm. all the time. Jerry Stackhouse, not so much. One time. That's it. Tim Corbin, all the time.
He's scheduled to join us forever,
by the way. He's been on for 15 years. But for some reason, he was always tied up, always doing something. I'm not questioning what he's doing. The point is, I didn't think he was very visible. And if you're going to be an AD in the SEC in Nashville, you might want to be visible. And, oh, by the way, you have the challenges that Vanderbilt has. Has anybody gone to Memorial Gym this year? Answer probably not, because I've seen the crowds.
Yeah.
It's pathetic. It's sad. I talked to people that were at the game Saturday night versus Florida. Do you understand what Vanderbilt, Florida used to be like in this town? That ticket?
Yeah. I went to that game when it was a hot ticket.
I had a family at my house Super Bowl Sunday, and they were there Saturday night. And I said, so how was the crowd? They're like, what crowd? Like, nobody was there. And they were also surprised at how many Florida fans were there. Well, yeah. It's real easy to get tickets. It's not hard. I mean, they got real issues. And so if you've got real issues, you might want to be visible. you might want to be out there glad-handing. You might want to get out there and meet the media. You might want to get out there and meet the fans and the boosters and the people in the market. And he just didn't seem like he had any interest in that.
Right.
That was my take. I just think Malcolm Turner, I don't want to say he was in over his head, because I'm not saying he wasn't equipped to handle the job. I'm saying he realized it probably wasn't the job that he thought he was signing up for. And that's a little bit on him, because you have to do your homework.
Sure.
And if you would have talked to the right people, you would have realized you had huge obstacles and huge challenges that you were going to have to overcome. And I'm not sure he exactly talked to the right people, because I have a feeling it didn't take long for it that he was looking around going, wow, this is not what I thought.
Yeah. How many times have you and I had the conversation of, you know, Nashville as a market is unique. It's a growing city, but it's still, there are parts of it that you have the small town feel. And, you know, from a sports radio standpoint or athletic standpoint, it's just, it's different. The fan base is different, and it's changing because so many people are moving here. But I think Vanderbilt is a representation of that. Vanderbilt is unique. Yes, they're in the SEC, but they're a private school. They're an academic school. Athletics aren't number one for them. It's academics. And that's great. I've always praised them for that. But now, as the SEC and the other schools continue to grow, it is more and more apparent of how far behind Vanderbilt from an athletic standpoint is. And I think Malcolm Turner came in here, to your point, going, well, we're going to fix that. You know, I've been a part of, you know, the G League and, you know, the NBA. And I've worked with, you know, David Stern and Adam Silver. And
I've rubbed elbows with a lot of really big, important people.
And this is how we do it. And this is how we're going to do it at Vanderbilt. That's all well and good. I applaud him for that kind of mentality. But also, to your point,
by the way, there's been a lot of coaches that came in with the same mentality. Like, I'm going to change. And they couldn't.
No. No, the one that was the closest to doing it was James Franklin.
And he still left because he was frustrated. Right. Still.
Right.
And well, he did. You're right. He was able to plow through more obstacles than anybody else.
He got a indoor practice facility built, but like, it's used for everything else. It's not just football. It's used for everything else. I mean, we've heard stories of how difficult it is to get time in that thing because it's used for everything. It's just, I don't know if they're ever going to get it. I don't know if they want to get it. You know, I'm reading up. Candace Lee, that name stood out to me. I remember her as a player
for the basketball team. Yeah, she was a standout.
Yeah, absolutely. So I remember the name. And so she's got ties. She's a Vanderbilt person.
She understands it.
She understands. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know.
That's my question, because she's been...
She's the interim. Is this where they're going?
I guess.
Or
I mean,
truly going to be just an interim?
No, well, she was the associate vice chancellor and deputy athletic director. So she's been on the staff.
Yeah. Well, she was a consideration.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. I get the vibe that they were so quick to announce it that this is probably where they're going.
Well, I mean, that's the easy dot to connect, and that makes the most sense. She's right there, and obviously everybody's familiar with her. I think for the sake of this conversation, probably that's where they need to go because of what we just laid out. If there's anybody who understands it, it's her. I mean, she knows what that campus is all about. She knows the obstacles. She knows the inner workings of that place. And look, when you're an outsider, I get it. I'm not blaming Malcolm Turner for not being able to figure it out, because I do think he's a smart guy. I don't think this is the right place. I don't believe Jerry Stackhouse is going to be long for this job. I just don't. I think it's the same deal. I just think he's going to look around. One, you know, he was directly tied to Malcolm Turner. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And now that he's gone, you don't think they've talked. You don't think that they share the same frustrations. I don't believe Jerry Stackhouse is going to be here long. My guess is he'll probably go running back to the NBA. And it's not, once again, it's not an indictment on him. As we've been saying for a long time, this just in. Honk if you've heard this before. Vanderbilt is a hard job.
Mm-hmm. In any sport.
Tough.
And Tim Corbin. Okay?
You should appreciate Tim Corbin even more. But for all the people we've tried to tell you about Derek Mason, okay, that's fine. What do you really expect? Like, what was your bar, really? What do you think is going to happen? What, because of all the other coaches that came in and lit the world on fire year after year after year, you act like all of a sudden 5-7 is insulting. There were many years 5-7 you would have signed up for all day long.
Throw a parade.
I mean, this just in, it's hard because it's not your normal SEC job. It's hard. All right, we'll come back. As you just heard, Malcolm Turner has resigned. Vanderbilt has accepted his resignation as the athletics director at Vanderbilt. Candace Story Lee will take over the program and become the first female athletic director. Okay, and that is really cool.
Yeah.
How cool is that? And like I said, she.
Does this mean change, too? I mean, because that's a big change right there.
Yeah.
Yep. Does this mean change for Vanderbilt? You have a Vanderbilt person in charge. Can she change things the way that they need to be changed?
All right, we'll come back, close up shop for the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. Well, sometimes in this business, that's what happens. We were prepared to talk about the mess that is Nashville SC. We had a really good conversation with Drake Hills, who covers them for the Tennessean. He's the beat writer. And they need to figure some stuff out, like, quick. I don't know what John Cooper is thinking as the mayor, but we were prepared to get into that, and they need to fix this in a hurry. And then poof, this happens, comes out of nowhere, and you've got Malcolm Turner resigning as Vanderbilt's AD. He lasted a year.
Year on the job.
Took all of a year for him to figure out, this is hard.
I'm out.
I think I'm gonna pass. Thanks, but I'm gonna move on.
Is he going to release a statement or anything for that? Or
I know he's not going to hold a press conference. We know that. Right. We know he's not going to come on the show and talk, but I mean, the only chance you've got to hear from him would be a press release. I don't know if he'll release one. Probably not.
I'm gonna go with probably not.
Yeah,
we'll probably never hear from him again.
Probably so. And in place, Vanderbilt has hired their first female athletics director,
Candace Lee.
Candace Story Lee will take over as the new AD. And their first female AD, and she's somebody who certainly understands the university, somebody who certainly understands the athletics department. And can she make changes? I don't know. Can she fix things? I have no idea. I have no clue. I'd like to get a chance to know her.
Sure.
More than we did with Malcolm Turner. He came in one time and one time only. And you could tell. I mean, he just had a different way of conducting his business. And I just think that's extremely difficult to do in this market with the challenges that we were talking about. And I think, or maybe he was overwhelmed. Chase, I don't know. Maybe he came in and it didn't take long, like right out of the gates where he went, we've all had a job where something happened very early on where you're like,
like what did I just sign up for?
What
is this?
What did I just sign up for? And maybe he had that moment. And so maybe he has been kind of in a cocoon because he's going, what the heck have I done? What have I done? What have I got myself into? I don't know. I have no idea. Or maybe he just operates that way.
Or, I mean, it could be he has presented, you know, because we've heard that he's had plans. He's presented plans of the changes that he wants to make. And he's made statements of that status quo isn't going to work anymore. And he goes to his superiors with all these plans, and they're like, "Now we good." I don't know. I don't know if that's the. It appears that way sometimes when you look at the decisions that they make over there. This is why I want to talk to some. You know, I want to talk to Candace Lee. I want Vanderbilt to have their opportunity to tell their side of it, because I'm sitting here, you know, just forming an opinion. And the opinion that I have and what I see is they just don't have a very big commitment to athletics. The football stadium's older than I am. I mean, let's just be honest. It's a dump. I mean, it just to SEC standards, that's what it is. And they have needed to do something to it for years, and they haven't done it. Memorial Gym, okay, cool, historic gym. Doesn't have air conditioning. Doesn't have – they hung up a new video board. Whoop-de-doo. Like, what does that do for me? Great. I can sit on old bleachers and look up and watch a nice video board while I sweat. Like, okay, great. The only commitment that I have seen has been Hawkins Field. And why is that?
Because Corbin went out and got his own money.
Right.
That's why.
Right.
He did it on his own.
And guess what? What are they doing? What has Tim Corbin done? Two national championships.
Reaping the benefits of it.
Right. And so that's the stuff that drives me crazy. You know, people always ask me, okay, so who's your team? Who's your college team? And I laugh. I go, well, I grew up in Nashville. Didn't have the Titans. Didn't have the Predators. Had the Sounds and had Vanderbilt. So I grew up a Vanderbilt fan. And what do you think they say? Oh, I'm sorry. You saw a lot of losing. Yeah, I did. Then it got better for a minute. You know, Kevin Stallings came in. There are people that want to hate on Kevin Stallings, say he wasn't a very good coach. He did a lot of winning over there.
How's the basketball program look since?
How's that looked?
Kev's gone, huh? How's that looked?
And looked very good.
All those people, Kevin Stallings.
Bryce Drew lasted two years, and I would say Stackhouse is looking like he'll probably resign.
He may be one and done, too, honestly. Yeah. I don't see him being long.
James Franklin was successful. Derek Mason has fought a lot of uphill battles. A lot of uphill battles. And is still there. So, it's not an easy job. But they have to look at themselves in the mirror and make some changes. Have to. Otherwise,
but they've been told that before, Chase.
I know.
This is not anything new. This is not a 2020 problem. It's been there for a long time, man.
It has.
Either you're going to change or you're not. Sometimes you have to it's just like people in your life, right? You want them to change. You want them to change. You want them to change. You try to help. You try to help. You try to help. And at some point, you come to the realization that this is just what they are, and you're not going to be able to fix them. And then you have to make the tough decision or, I don't know, whatever, or a decision. The decision is you're just going to deal with it and drive yourself crazy being around them and watching them always mess things up, or you're just going to decide to cut ties and move on and say, it's just too frustrating. I want what's best for them. It doesn't feel like they want what's best for them. So I'm just going to move on.
This is my last point on this, and Joe Rexrode from The Athletic is going to join us next to discuss this. I don't know anything about Candace Lee, except she was a great basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what her plan is. I hope to learn what her plan is, but I'll say this. When you stay in-house and you go get somebody in the family, it goes one of two ways. Either they're going to do what's best for the university, but they're going to have new ideas and they're going to try and fix it, or you're going to have that person that's going to look at the bosses and go, whatever you want,
a yes person.
Yes, yes.
Just happy to have the job.
Just happy to have the job. And how does that usually work out?
Doesn't work out well. All right, we'll come back. Joe Rexrode to kick off the second hour. That's next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.